But tonight, you can go to Earth Files and click on the report of this first interview with who I am calling Gary and Irene Thompson.
And suddenly there was a blue light, cerulean blue light, that enveloped the car. We drove into that light, and there was a sound, sounded like a bullwhip going around. Very loud sound, whipped through the air.
Can you make that sound now?
Yeah, it was like a I said, what the heck is going on? And the car electric system seemed to shut off. The lights shut off. The interior lights shut off. And we found ourselves being pulled up into the air. And the front part of the car was like a 30-degree angle lower. And my wife turned around in the seat, grabbed the back of the seat so she wouldn't fall under the dashboard. And we flew through the air. I don't know how far we went, but I know it was cold because it's November in Colorado. There were no leaves on the trees. And wherever it was that this car stopped and landed, it was warmer and there were leaves on the trees. So we went quite a ways. I don't know where we went, but we went someplace warmer. And when we landed, there were what I now refer to as grays that kind of surrounded the car. They were wearing like gold lamé suits. It was a very strange sight. They opened the doors, then we got out of the car. There was a spaceship there. It was a round ship. It had like chancery windows all the way around it. There was a door opened. Something like a gangplank was there. And there was a man standing in that ship right in that doorway. He looked like a Caucasian man with a very large forehead.
Did he have any hair, and what was he wearing?
Well, he was bald, and he was wearing like a blue cape kind of a thing with a big collar. The collar stood up. It was a very dressy thing. Whereas the other people that were there, they looked different from him, and they were wearing these skin-tight kind of suits, and he was wearing a fancy coat.
And what color were the tight suits on the smaller grays?
As I recall, they were gold, like a gold lamé kind of outfits.
Sparkly?
Yeah, kind of sparkly. The fellow in the blue coat, the big guy, he put his hands out like, welcome, and we walked up the gangplank and went in this ship. When we got in there, there were some other types of people. So there were really three types, little grays. Then there was the fellow that looked like a Caucasian human with a big forehead. And then there were some other very skinny kind of people. They had also very large foreheads, very thin, and they had very long fingers. Hands were very strange, very slender.
Who seemed to be in control?
Oh, the man in the blue coat. He was the boss.
Okay.
We were very apprehensive, and suddenly some of these very slender people came and got my wife and started to walk her down into a different part of the ship, like a hallway. And then I went ballistic. I started going after the big guy in the blue coat. Pretty good sized guy, probably around 6 foot tall. I hadn't been out of the army that long. And he looked at me, and his eyes, his look, his gaze, was like it created an energy. And he slammed me back up against one of the walls. A couple of these slender people grabbed a hold of me then and held me there.
Eye color?
I don't recall his eye color, but I do recall that when he gazed, I mean, what I saw was red. Whether his eyes turned red, whether his pupils turned red, I don't know. He created an energy that was immense, and it slammed me back against the wall, and nobody touched me. But I had started out for him, started running at him. I said, I'm going to kill you. And he just seemed to, like, stiffen up, and then he got this very intense stare and created an energy that was very strong, and it blew me back into a wall.
Did the skinny beings then immediately come and grab you?
Well, I was back against the wall. They were back there already, I guess. They reached out and grabbed a hold of one arm, one on the other.
And were they taller than you?
As I recall, they were pretty close to my size.
And you're how tall?
About 5'9".
So they're a little bit shorter than the bald Caucasian-looking man in the blue cape.
Yes.
And the grays.
Oh, I'd say 3 feet.
So now you have the 5'9", very thin beings on either side of your arms. What happens?
I realized that I had no power there, and they'd taken my life someplace, and I was left there. There was another room that was about 15 or 20 feet away from the entrance. In the middle of that room, there was a light that started to shine in the floor. It was a rectangular light, and that light produced a table, like a cube. It just came up and it produced like a solid table.
Was there color to that square light?
No, it was pure white, very white light. I ended up with all my clothes off on that table. There was an instrument that was placed over my forehead, and I do know that my right eye was taken out of the socket. This instrument that they placed on my forehead seemed to take all of my thoughts, started right from the present and went backwards. And it was like running a movie backwards, and everything that happened in my life, I recall it being removed from my brain. And I went back to the point where there was nothing there. At that point, they started putting it back in. So what I assumed was that they had somehow recorded everything that was in my brain. There was some sort of a sexual thing where I think they took my semen. I ended up with my clothes back on. My wife came back out. The fellow in the blue coat seemed to bid us goodbye, and we were back in the car. And the next thing I know, we were driving down Highway 119 again.
When Gary and Irene were back on Highway 119 driving home in their station wagon, all they knew was both had seen the puzzling greenish-blue lights around their car, and they got to their Longmont house an hour later than the trip should have taken. Then, within a few days, Irene became so ill she was hospitalized. Doctors confirmed she was pregnant and warned the couple that her very high persistent fever and the raging bacteria or virus in her body could damage the two-month-old fetus. The couple's Catholic faith kept them going with the pregnancy. When labor pains started early, the doctors were concerned that the premature baby would be damaged. So everyone was shocked when Irene delivered a full-grown, large, extremely healthy and bright son, who is now 30 years old and a brilliant professional in the biomedical field. For the first time in audio recording, Irene talked to me recently for my news website, earthfiles.com, and for this Coast radio broadcast.
It's like being kidnapped and raped and a frightening experience. Well, I was on the table. I think they took the baby. I was beside myself. They had him in like a lab room or something like that. They were doing something with the baby.
When you say baby and you were only 2 months pregnant at the time, it's just a very tiny fetus.
Correct.
So what is it that you remember actually seeing these beings in the white suits do that you figured that it was a fetus being taken from you?
I did not really see much of the fetus. They were all around it in like another room. I just remember knowing they had done that. I remember starting to yell obscenities and carrying on and not getting much of a reaction.
Did you know that they had some kind of instrumentation inside of you?
Yes.
And what did you sense was occurring?
Well, since I thought I was pregnant again, I felt that they were maybe aborting my pregnancy.
Did you have some kind of a mental image, perhaps even telepathic communication from these beings, that they were taking this fetus out of your uterus for some reason, and then you became aware that they were all around this fetus?
Yes. I mean, that would be the only way I think that I knew where the fetus was, and I think they were trying to calm me.